Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Crossblades Podcast, where we talk about faith, pop culture, and everything else in between. I am your host, Samick, and this is my co-host, Nico, and today we are going to be talking about...
the failure of Christian movies.
Pretty much, yeah. So, I think that it is no secret that Christian films are not the best.
Yeah.
And they have quite the reputation, which is... not really a good one.
No, and it's a real problem, especially when, like, with our first episode when we're talking about men's adventure fiction and all that. I don't see that in Christian movies these days anyway.
I mean, there are a few out there, but honestly, like I mentioned in the first episode, that would be the genre to totally crank out some awesome faith-based stuff.
Yeah, it would be.
Like, it's like, you know, in our Bible, Story of the Bible episode, mm-hmm. we mentioned how there were so many stories that were rich in storytelling and just total epicness. And it's like, we have so much that we could do with not only the Bible, mm-hmm. but with some of the historical battles and situations. Mm-hmm. Around biblical times and even in the medieval times, because let's just be honest, the medieval era was a very Christian era.
Yeah.
And yeah, most media really doesn't want to focus on that unless they want to use the agenda of, you know, Christian bad, you know. Mm. But anyways, Christians have not been doing a really good job of presenting our faith mm-hmm. and presenting God within storytelling. Mm-hmm. So
I would like to say that a huge culprit of that problem comes from PureFlix, if you know what that is.
Yes, but here's the thing. I actually watched some interviews. Mm-hmm. I forget his name, but he used to be a producer in PureFlix, mm-hmm. and he was being interviewed and people were asking him, so what was the deal with PureFlix? They're like, why is it that everything is so campy, so goofy? It honestly feels like a Hallmark movie. And he said, it's because that's what sold. He said, we sold to a demographic. Go ahead and crucify me over this. He said, we sold to the demographic of the church soccer moms. They wanted everything hunky-dory dandy. They didn't want any horrible conflict. They didn't want any violence or action. They didn't want, you know, to tackle tough subjects. They just wanted their goofy fantasy mm-hmm. stuff. It's yeah. like, and that is not what we need.
No, I don't believe that at all. I think that in storytelling, like I've seen it time and time again where something can sell a good point. Like, look at like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, for example. That does have some Christian elements in it. And look at how well
so is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, I know. I was just gonna use the Last Crusade more only because that's more focused on something related to Jesus rather than the Old Testament.
Okay. Yeah.
But you look how successful that was. And that was made by Hollywood.
Mm.
So in that regard, it's kind of discouraging, in my opinion, when all these Christian producers and studios try to make something and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, because they have this idea, not all of them, but many of them have this idea that we don't want, because let's just be honest, there are so many Christians out there that are wimpy. They're wimpy, they're weak, some are even woke.
I don't like using the term crucified, but I'm going to get burned at the stake for this.
Yeah, but...
The thing is that... Yeah, I'm good. The thing is that they're lukewarm, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, this is a topic for another time, mm-hmm. but the church has become so feminized, mm-hmm. which, don't get me wrong, we need the masculine and femininity both working together, mm-hmm. together as the body of Christ. But ever since World War II happened, the church has become so feminized and to the point to where men are now feel isolated and they feel like they can't be a part of this.
Yeah.
And what's the word I'm looking for? They feel alienated because it's like, there's nothing masculine here. Christianity now has tried to push away the call to action that men feel, trying to suppress the violent nature of men.
Mm-hmm.
And which is ridiculous because it's like the Old Testament is filled with so many stories of warriors. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself is a warrior. He will come back not as the lamb, but as the lion. The King of Kings. He will come be riding on a horse with a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So each of us has a warrior spirit within us. It's the way God designed us. And the church society has tried to demasculate men.
Yes.
And put a leash on them, tame them, as many have actually said.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with that being, because of that culture, they feel like, oh, well, we can only make content that's very feminine. But even then, it's like, I've talked to my mom about this. My mom's a bit of a tomboy. She does like a bit of the action stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she does love herself a good romance and, you know, stuff like that. But she was like, yeah, she likes herself a good chick flick every now and then. But she's like, they're not even those. She's like, Christian films aren't even those.
No, they're not.
They're like, they're just they're sloppy, poorly written, poorly edited too. But they can't get some good actors for once.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, terrible budgets, and they just want to fit in within this box. So, okay, it's got to be completely clean. The only conflict we have to have is light-hearted conflicts that don't really push boundaries. And they do it in such a way to where it's pandering to an audience,
mm-hmm.
and they're pushing this sermon down your throat and making that at the front.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, doing very similarly to what the radical left is doing in woke movies. It's literally the exact same formula.
And same method.
Yeah, which for those of you who want to know, oh my god, you're the anti-woke people, just watch our video, What is Woke, and you'll see what we mean about woke. Because I admit that term is kind of thrown out there and has lost all meaning.
Yeah, and that episode is up, so you guys can go see it.
Yeah, so I have a very middle ground view of wokeism.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's essentially the same formula. It's like they push storytelling to the side and put a message in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not how to do storytelling.
No, and I'd like to say God's Not Dead is a perfect example of that.
Exactly. Like, I know people bash that movie. I was a kid when it came out.
Yeah,
I kind of enjoyed it, but the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh my gosh. But anyways, the thing about God's Not Dead I will defend, though, is I understand what they were trying to do.
Yeah, same.
I get what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, the execution was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Like, let's just rave on this movie for just a second, and, like, maybe for a few minutes, because it's just so unrealistic.
It's kind of cringe.
Yeah, because the fact of the matter is that you have this college student who's going to college and he has to professor who, you know, you have to defend your faith or you fail my class.
That's... I mean, that has happened before. Yeah, granted, yes, I have heard many stories where they have done stuff like that.
Yes, but it was poorly executed in the ways of acting.
Exactly, yes.
And the ways of, like, how it would actually play out in real life. That's not how it would play out. Mm-hmm. It would be a lot more strenuous and a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And also, it's like they made it a point to make every single atheist in there a jerk.
Yeah, especially the teacher. Like, I'm like...
I mean, making the teacher that way makes sense, because let's just be honest here. There are a lot of college professors nowadays. Mm-hmm. College is literally known as the place where faith dies.
Yep.
And there's, you know, they spread so much Marxism, gender ideology, and just all this ridiculous, you know, stuff. Essentially, Maoism. Mm-hmm. Look that up. Yep. So I get the professor being the way he was. But it's like, why did you have to make everybody else that way, too?
Yeah.
Like, the part where the, I forget what he was, but Dean Cain's character.
Yeah.
It sucks, because Dean Cain's actually a good actor. It just sucks that they gave him that crappy role. But, you know, he sits down talking to his sister, and she's just like, I'm dying. And he's just like, could this wait? And they have this horrible exchange of poorly written dialogue. I'm like, who reacts like that?
Yeah, especially if your sibling is dying. Unless you have a terrible relationship with them, which, and it's established I don't, you know?
He's just like, oh, could this wait? I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. I want to also rave on the fact that the atheist teacher, the fact that they used the whole I hate God, you know, trope. And all that, Murray's like, remember the scene where he's like, yeah, I hate God, I hate God. It's like, and then he says, how can you hate something that doesn't exist? And like, that trope is...
Like,
it doesn't work.
I have met people who are like that.
Well, yeah, but it's just...
I do. Like I said, I get where they're going from. I have met atheists that do literally hate God with a burning passion, and I have literally thought about saying that to them. It's like, if you think he's not real, why do you hate him so much? Like, yeah, you know. Exactly. But at the same time, it's like, most atheists are actually pretty genuinely good people. They just don't think that a God exists.
Yes, and I believe that you can still have, you know, Christian, you know, okay, I'm going to get burned at the stake for this. I believe that there are some atheists who show Christ more than Christians do.
Many a times that is the case.
Yes, and I'm not saying that don't need to be saved. That is not what I'm saying at all. They do need Christ, they need to be saved. But my point is that in today's day and age, it's just, you see more love and more respect from the people who don't, you know, believe like we do. It's just, mm-hmm. And it's a sad reality, and that's why the church is failing.
Exactly. Like, for an example, I am what you would consider a Messianic Gentile. I follow the feasts of Israel. I follow Torah.
Yeah.
Of course, no, I'm not sacrificing any animals. We don't do that anymore. Jesus did, in fact, do away with that because he's the ultimate sacrifice. But like I've told many people, Jesus did not abolish the law. He fulfilled it. Mm-hmm. When Paul talks about the curse of the law, it's not the way that most people think it is.
Wasn't
and he himself...
Wasn't he referring to what the Pharisees were doing?
The Talmud, yes.
Yeah.
But also there were some Judaizers who were literally wanting to, they essentially thought that if you broke one piece of the law, then you were done for. And Paul was like, yeah, that's kind of the whole point. All of us are guilty of breaking the law. That's why we needed the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know, Paul himself even said that those who follow the law do a good thing. He even said it was good to follow the feasts of Israel because they're not Jewish feasts. God himself said, these are my appointed feasts. Mm-hmm. I could go into greater detail in another episode, amount of Christians that have attacked me and my family over that is ridiculous. It's like, I'm not forcing you to do it. I'm just telling you why I do it and why I'm saying I think we as Christians should, mm-hmm. because it's right there in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Why would we stop doing it just because, oh, Jesus did away with it? It's like, Jesus did not do away with it. He partook in this. Mm-hmm. But anyways, and you know, just, I see denominations fighting each other over theological and traditional beliefs, and it's like we're too busy fighting each other over all of these things that really don't matter. Yeah, like Paul even said, not to argue about
trivial things, right?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. But it just, so yeah, many a times I will talk to like these situations to like either pagans or atheists, and they're like, well, that makes sense. And I'm like, huh? You get it? And they're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. But anyways, back to on topic, it's like, yeah, they want to portray anyone who wasn't Christian as evil and mean. I'm like,
no.
I mean, yeah, sure, there's those people out there, but it's not like everybody.
It's a stupid trope, and like, what was I gonna say? Like,
it's also putting themselves on like a higher pedestal,
which we should not do.
No,
we are all falling short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and we all need a savior. We do not need to say, "Oh, we are better than anyone else," because that'll just turn people away.
Exactly.
Because I've seen way too many Christians these days who say, there are Christians who actually blaspheme and say Christians cannot sin. That is not true.
Yeah.
We are born into sin and we will sin. It is not because of Christ we do not sin. It is because of Christ we sin. And he covers it up. And our works are not because of what's that saying? How's the saying go? It's like, you know, we don't,
faith without works is a dead faith. But I always want to say works without faith are meaningless many of times.
Yeah, correct. That's right. I was just saying that, you know, we do what's right because we are saved, not because of anything else.
Yes. And what I find stupid too is it's like in the midst of them trying to put themselves on this pedestal, they make utter buffoons out of themselves. It's like they make themselves look like idiots
and narcissists.
How do you describe it? It's like you are trying to be like, "Oh, I'm a Christian." It's like you don't look like one. You're not acting like one.
It's the stereotypical, I hate to use this reference if you know what this is. Do you know the YouTube channel Blind Macau?
Yes.
I think I knew them. Remember the big
head kid? I've seen them.
Remember the big head kid, and he's going, I'm a Christian, and he's shaking the guy. I'm like, that's what it's like.
That's what it's like. And it's like, we need to be better about this. It's like, if we are going to win souls over, we don't need to constantly bash people who are not part of Christianity and make Christianity look like either one or cult or two, just a bunch of blithering idiots.
Yes, and the thing that gets me is that Christianity has become more cult-like in recent years.
In many aspects, yes. Although some people do take that to the extreme.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I would just say certain denominations are like that, and certain groups. But the biggest problem with Christianity is, honestly, it's the lack of fire within us. Like I mentioned earlier, with the feminist thing, but it's like we want to put everything within this little box, our little safe space, our little box. Like, this box is fine, everything's great, everything's perfect. We're all just going to sit here and sing Kumbaya and wait for Jesus to return, when Jesus did not say, just sit on your butt and do nothing and wait till I show up. He said, I will not show up until the gospel is preached on all four corners of the earth.
That is facts. I applaud you for that.
Do you want me to do the cock clap?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Nice. Anyways, but the thing is that, where was I going? I lost my train of thought. Dang it.
While you're trying to figure your train of thought. But yeah, it's like they want everything to be safe. Mm-hmm. They want everything to be hunky-dory dandy. And they never really explore the harsh reality of humanity. And when they do it in such a way to where it feels unauthentic.
Like the scene with the death of the teacher and the guy's not dead.
That was so dumb.
Like, I get it. I get what they were trying to go with that, but it just was, it was terribly executed.
It was. It was like,
his lungs are filling up with blood. He could die any second. It's like, do you believe in Lord Jesus Christ? I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wait, I do. Okay, you're fine. I'm like, okay. I am not trying to be mean when I say this. I do believe that you can accept Christ before you die, but the whole point of being a Christian is living for Christ. And for a lot of movies, they paint this whole thing of this guy was horrible. Oh, he accepted Christ at the last minute. Okay, it's fine. Everything's fine. It's like,
it's not like the way it reminds me of, and I hate to use this reference, but there's a scene in Family Guy where
I knew you were going to talk
where,
about that.
Yes, there's a scene in Family Guy where Stewie and Brian go into a Catholic church, and he says, "Well, the Catholics believe yada yada yada." And he's like, "Anyone can get into heaven?" Like, "Yeah, anyone, but as long as you accept Jesus as your savior before you die." Then it cuts over to Osama bin Laden before he gets gunned down by the U.S. military. He's like, "I accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior." He's like, "Yes." Is it up in heaven? That's not how it works. That's just
That's not how that works.
And it's the same kind of concept in that movie.
I know, and it's like, I will admit, same company. This is probably the only PureFlix movie that I actually would say go watch. It is Do You Believe? Because it kind of tackles some. It pushes the envelope with a little more, you know, serious topics like, you know, suicide, PTSD. You know, wrestling with the fact that, you know, one of the guys has leukemia. He's like, I literally can die in 2 weeks. Infertility, abortion, gang violence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it kind of, they do a whole thing where all of these different stories and at the end they kind of come together.
Yeah.
But, it has some problems, but as a whole, I would say that one I think was better executed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, despite its problems, it's like, okay, what I think we need to do is we need to look at this one and be like, let's see what worked and kind of get rid of the things that didn't work. Mm-hmm. And although it was kind of goofy, same company, Beckman was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a Christian John Wick. It was one of those, just turn your brain off and have fun with it. Despite its low budget and despite PureFlix did it, I was actually impressed with the action scenes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, y'all actually did pretty decent. It's just, once again, the writing
sucks.
Was where it fell short. It didn't suck. It was just, they needed a good 30 more minutes to build the characters because the first part of the movie felt rushed. But anyways, most of the other Christian they all feel goofy. That's the best way to put it. It's like, it all feels like modern day kids movies. Mm-hmm. Where there's no substance behind it. They don't ever tackle serious subjects. It's all, everything's hunky-dory dandy. Everything's fine. The biggest problems we have is atheist bad. And I'm like, that's not life.
No. Now, I'd like to get into a Christian movie that actually is good. Courageous.
That one is actually pretty good, because that actually tackles with real-life subjects.
Yes, and the fact of the matter is that there's about gang violence, gang activity, drug use, police brutality and violence, and the problems with being a father, death in the family, all that kind of stuff. Tragedy.
And the whole point of the movie was how the lack of a father figure will pave the way for many to fall into a life of not only just sin, but a life of crime. Yes. And that is true. Most criminals don't have a father figure in their life.
Yeah.
And it was heavily exploring that how, you know, because these men weren't stepping up to be fathers, how their children were going off in the wrong direction, so then they took that oath, we're going to be the fathers that we're supposed to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, I'd like to do that when I have a wife and children.
Yeah. That was a pretty good movie. Because that's I would set as an example of this is a good one. Like, follow this example. Like, some might argue that I had a couple of corny, preachy moments, but I don't think so.
And also some corny comedy moments, but it was all right.
It was pretty decent. It was one of the better ones, yeah. But it's like this, you... A lot of people still find it too preachy. Me, personally, I think that there are some times where you do need to sit it down. Like, that issue with they're like, hey, look, you need to step up and be a better father. And, you know, one of the best examples of being a father is following God, you know, following Jesus, and he will lead you into becoming the better father. So, I'm like, there are some instances where I think you do need to have a little bitty mini sermon in there to get your point across. But... one way that I think we as Christian writers need to do is we need to figure out how to tell a story without having to resort to that. Because sometimes it does work, but many times it doesn't.
Can I say, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think.
Because of the fact that most people who are watching are babies in the terms of, just like the Bible says, start with milk and move up to the solid foods. They don't have the capacity or the attention span to listen to a sermon.
Well, that, but when you stop and think about it, a lot of these movies, are there any non-Christians really watching them?
No, they're geared directly towards the Christian
audience.
Towards
Christians. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with some of those.
Yeah.
Doing that. If you know your audience, then sell your audience something. That's completely fine. And I'm not saying you need to make a movie for everyone, because that's not, or a book or whatever. That's not how storytelling works. You can't, something for everyone is something for no one. You can't just make the something that everybody will watch.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, a lot of people say, oh, well, I want to make Christian movies to spread the gospel. And I'm like, that's good. But here's the thing. If you're only making a movie Christians will watch, how are you spreading the gospel?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is it's probably going to surprise some of y'all, but this is the example that I want to use of how to spread the gospel. This is what I find funny. This movie was made by a secular person. He is not a Christian at all. But yet this movie is one of the best depictions of a Christian man. It's called The Book of Eli. It is a post-apocalyptic, I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe essentially the backdrop was a nuclear war took place. And now, of course, everything's a crap hole. Everyone's scavenging. It is rated R. I will be upfront about it. There is no sexual content in there. There's no nudity, which is great. But it does show the fact that many of women in this society get raped, and a lot of them are trafficked, and a lot of them are used as slaves. And there are situations. It gets pretty violent, I will say. Of course, you know me. I love action and stuff. Very well shot, very well choreographed fight scenes. Very brutal. Very pretty realistic. But the premise is this man named Eli, who's played by Denzel Washington, which interestingly, the name Eli means of God, so that will come important later. So he's traveling the wasteland, and he has a book. Hence the Book of Eli. But he's got this book that he always is guarding, he's protecting, he will never let it out of his sight. Turns out it's one of the last, it's literally the last Bible left on planet Earth. It's the last one. So, his mission, he said, I walk by faith and not by sight. I hear there is a voice within me that says go, and wherever it goes, I go. When it says stay, I stay. Very similar to how our Christian walk, we're supposed to follow God and stuff like that. Well, essentially, he ends up coming in contact with a young woman, and what's really cool about it is, he starts to realize that his mission isn't only to guard the book, but to share what's inside the book. Because for so long he was like, you know, I'm keeping this book to myself, you know, because this it's sacred. I found it, and I'm the one chosen to protect it. But then he realizes, what's the point of keeping it to myself? And he starts to realize, you know, the mission all along was to spread what was in this book and to help others. Now, I'm not going into spoiler territory. That's part of his journey. There's a lot of other things going on with it, but seriously, guys, go give it a watch. That really shows how Christian men are supposed to be. They fight when they need to. They turn the other cheek when they need to. They stand up for God, and they try to help others through the Word of God. It's a fantastic film. I would highly suggest
What was it made?
watching it.
What was it made?
Oh, it was either the 20 teens or late 2000s.
Okay.
Something along those lines.
All right.
It's getting a lot more recognition nowadays. When it first came out, the atheists, a lot of atheists and just other non-believers didn't like it because it was Christian themed. A lot of Christians didn't like it because it was too violent. And I'm like,
Look at the
because, you know, a
Bible.
lot of, huh? Yeah, read the Bible. Like, seriously, in our last episode, when we were talking about the story of the Bible, the amount of violent content that is in there makes the Book of Eli look like a PG movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets rough, but anyways.
But there's a difference between
So.
showing violence as, you know, a realistic thing and that happens in the world and glorifying violence.
Yeah.
There's a
Yeah,
distinct
like
difference.
with Eli, he doesn't go out of his way to fight. He only fights when it's absolutely necessary. Yeah. Like many times, most of the time, he will avoid a conflict. Like, for instance, this isn't spoiler, this is literally at the beginning. When he's traveling, you see these group of scavengers. It was a couple. These raiders already killed the man. And they're beating the crap out of the woman, implying that they're going to assault her. And he's struggling with the fact, he's like, you know, I should go and do something, but it's a lot of them. And it's like, there's only one of me, and there's a lot of them. And you know, and this is the point in the beginning where he's still all about, I'm going to keep the book safe. So he just turns a blind eye and he leaves. He
I see.
just avoids the conflict. About 15-ish minutes later, he ends up in the town, and there are those same raiders. And he's like, oh, great. And he was feeling guilty about the fact that he left, because there are other instances where he would have left, and it's like, yeah, that's a good one, but that one, he still felt like I should have done something. I should have done something. Well, then they start kind of messing with him, and he is cool-headed at first. He's like, you know what? I don't care. But as soon as they start trying to take the book, he kind of punches one guy up and tells him to leave. Well, then the others rally up on him, and he's just like, you know what? I'm done. He takes his machete. He speaks. He prays. He reads a verse, and he pretty much says, you know, your day of judgment's here. You will spill the earth with innocent blood no more. And he just kicks their asses.
Nice. So, there's also, I don't know if this is a real Christian film, but I think it might have been. You ever heard of VelociPastor? I'm not joking about this.
It is not a Christian film
Oh, it
at
isn't.
all.
Okay,
It is
okay. Then
not.
don't burn me at the stake. I didn't know.
Oh, that literally the whole point of that movie is they wanted to make the worst movie possible.
Wow.
I've seen clips of it, and it is indeed the worst movie ever.
I can attend to that.
Yeah,
I've seen
anyways,
cl I've seen
moving
so I've seen
on.
someone review that movie on TikTok, and oh my gosh, is it bad?
I don't think that really even counts, because that's not even
It's not a Christian film.
that, that what does what would count is Machine Gun Preacher.
That's another one, yeah.
That's a good movie. You want to talk about that one?
I don't know enough about it. Tell me more. I only heard of it.
Oh, based off a true story, actually. I forget his name, but he was not just a biker. He was like in a biker gang.
Like Hell's Angels?
I don't know if it was Hell's Angels, but most bikers are just guys that ride on their bikes. Like, no, he was a drug addict. He hurt people. He even attempted murder. He was a horrible human being. Like, he even said that the movie didn't touch how bad he was.
I see.
His wife, he got out of prison. His wife came to Christ during his time in prison, and he eventually came to Christ himself. He became a preacher. Mm-hmm. Well, then during a missionary trip, he went to Africa. I forget which country it was, but he saw a lot of horrific, depraved things while he was there. Mm-hmm. And he felt like, I need to help these people. Mm-hmm. And for years, I think he still does, actually. He continuously would go back to that country, to that specific tribe. Mm-hmm. Because one of the problems was the rebels of that country would constantly capture children and use them as child soldiers. Oh. So that was his mission, was to get the kids out of that environment and to build communities there. Mm-hmm. And the movie does not shy away from the fact that he had to kill people in order to achieve that.
I see.
Like, it was one of those conflicts where you had this group of rebels and this group of rebels, and they were all... But anyways, he had his own little group of rebels that he formed his own kind of little militia with. Mm-hmm. And they would sometimes go out and raid against the opposing rebels.
Yes.
Because the opposing rebels would literally sometimes come to their community and do a bunch of, you know, try to kill everyone, so... Well, then it got to the point to where he started focusing more with Africa than his own family. Mm-hmm. And every time he went over there, you could see it destroy him more and more and more, to where he became very bitter, very violent, almost going back to his old ways. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good movie of showing you how, you know, he tries to do the right thing, but how at the same time, he's wrestling with, you know, his inner demons, his inner self. Yeah. There is one tiny short scene in the very beginning I really felt like was unnecessary. You see him and his wife. It's not extremely graphic, but you see him and his wife banging in the car from off and afar. It's only for about like 10 seconds, so you could just skip it. But, other than that, it is a fantastic movie. Yeah.
Well, I've seen Deadpool, and Deadpool has way more graphic scenes than that.
Yeah. I'm just giving y'all a heads up, because I'm a kind of guy that really thinks that shouldn't be in films.
Yeah, that's very true. So,
what would you say is another good Christian movie?
War Room is another good one.
That's a pretty decent one, but once again, it kind of falls into the category of only being geared towards Christians.
That's the thing. I only know Christian movies that are geared towards Christians. Whoa. Hold that thought. VeggieTales.
Yes. Everyone loves VeggieTales.
Even atheists love VeggieTales.
Now, there are plenty of people I meet of different religions that love different faiths, different belief systems. They love VeggieTales. Like, how could you not? Singing vegetables, like, come on.
If you like to talk to tomatoes,
if a squash can make you smile.
Anyways, Jonah of VeggieTales movie and the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, in my opinion, were great. They were great.
They were.
Because they were using, the first one was using a Bible story, even though they were technically parodying it, it was done in a way that anyone could watch it and understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonah being about compassion and second chances and mercy, and the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything being about accepting, you know, responsibility and heeding the call of action to do what was right.
Yes, and the one thing that, there's this one scene that I like in the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, it's in the very beginning where the guys are looking for, what's that guy's name? Robert the Terrible. His crew are looking for, isn't her name Eloise? Eloise, right?
I don't remember.
But the girl and her brother, she's the princess and the prince and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I think I see you. And he pushes back the curtain with his sword. And it's just a potted plant. And he thinks for a second he cut off her head.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was hilarious.
He was just like,
but I love
my favorite part was when the robotic sea monster mm-hmm. and Larry gets in there and they think it ate him, but then he literally cuts out its throat. He's like, hey, I finally figured out how to turn this thing off, and the other two just faint. Guys,
I love that. It's like, hey guys, there's bubbles, boom.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But the thing about VeggieTales is that even though, you know, it was telling biblical stories and telling a biblical narrative, anyone, as I said, anyone could understand it. Literally anyone. It was
anyone can understand the point.
Yeah.
Everyone can understand the point they were making. But another good Christian film, I would say, is, I mean, of course, Passion of the Christ, but I would say Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah,
another R-rated movie, very graphic because it's, you know, World War II, yep. The battle part of the Battle of Okinawa, mm-hmm. very brutal. But Desmond Doss, this is based off a true story. Desmond Doss was a pacifist, mm-hmm. a Christian pacifist. He never picked up a firearm and never shot a bullet, mm-hmm. and yet he saved estimated 75 men. In one battle, it more than most likely was actually a lot more. Mm. Desmond claimed it wasn't that many, whereas the soldiers claimed it was hundreds. Mm-hmm. They may have been embellishing it, but it was probably more than 75.
On that note, I don't know if they've made a movie about this, but I know Adventures in Odyssey did an audio drama about it. It's a similar situation. Have you ever heard of Sergeant York?
Yes, I was actually going to get to him in a second, mm-hmm. but anyways. So, yeah, it's like you see him literally putting himself out on the line, sacrificing his butt. Like, he gets injured. Like, in real life, he got more injured than he did in the movie. Because mm-hmm. Mel Gibson, the director of the film, he cut out a lot of the things that Desmond did because he said, if I put these in the movie, people are going to think that I'm embellishing the story.
Yeah.
So he did not show a fraction of the amazing things that Desmond Doss did. Mm-hmm. And every time he would rescue someone, huh?
Played
by Andrew Garfield. Okay. This is what got me in the movie and in real life. Every time he would rescue someone, he didn't just rescue the American soldiers; he even rescued Japanese soldiers. Every time he rescued someone, he would just say, "God, let me get one more. Mm-hmm. Next person, let me get one more. Let me get one more. Let me get one more." And he literally did that all night long, for like I think 3 days. He was up there. By himself.
Without sleep.
Because, like, what had happened was at this point in the... I mean, he was already saving people during the battle, but the American troops had to pull back mm-hmm. and regroup mm-hmm. and reassess. And, of course, you know, they left a lot of injured people up there because they had to retreat. So he was literally by himself for a huge chunk of this battle, just rescuing people, lowering them from the mountain, and then just going back. And it's like that right there shows the amount of just strength and courage that God can give a man to really, in the worst of situations, continue the mission. And like what Nico was saying about Sergeant York, he was a pacifist himself, mm-hmm. but a very different scenario, but he was drafted in World War I. And he followed orders. He was like, okay, you know, I'm in the military. These are my superior officers. I'm just going to do what they told me. So he was a private at this point. No, I think he ended up in a corporal. He was a corporal in this time. He was part of the 82nd Regiment?
I think so.
They call it the 82nd All the Way is their motto. Mm-hmm. He was from Tennessee, my state. Well, both of our states, actually.
Yeah.
Was he from Chattanooga?
I think it was Chattanooga.
I think it's Chattanooga, yeah. It was cool because I went to the Tennessee State Museum in Nashville, and they had some of his stuff there.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Was there ever a movie made about him?
There was.
Okay, was it any good?
What was his name? Yes, there was a movie with Gary Cooper in, I think, the 50s.
50s? Okay.
It was a little bit earlier than that. I don't remember. Anyways, but essentially the Germans attacked his regiment, and one of his friends got killed. Well, then he took action. He brought his Bible with him, and the day before he was reading scripture, and he was like, I have to rise up and be what my regiment needs me to be. So he single-handedly, what was it, captured, was it 103?
Think
4? 100 and a few, a little over 100 German soldiers single-handedly, because he was also a hunter, so he was good at sniping. So he literally, because they thought they had to retreat, and in order to keep the Germans from advancing, he single-handedly held them at bay because his regiment thought he was dead. And so here he comes, and you literally have over 100 German soldiers with their hands on their heads walking with him at the very end of them with a rifle.
Awesome.
And then his commanding officer said, "Wow, York, it looks like you captured the whole damn army." And he goes, "Nah, just 103 of them." And then, of course, they promoted him to sergeant.
Yep. The thing is about that is that also, according to the Adventures in Odyssey episode, which I will show you at one point, the sergeant of his regiment actually gave him the verse. I believe it's in. I think it's maybe Ezekiel. I think, I'm not sure, but it says if a man fails to blow the trumpet and doesn't alert of the enemy coming, the blood of the nation is on his hands.
Yes, that that was awesome. That's one of the reasons why he did it, because he was like, this is what God wishes. He wants me to step up to this occasion.
Yes, he says the thing is that the one thing in the episode he said, this is just paraphrasing because it's an audio drama, but his he said killing is killing, and then the officer said protecting is protecting. So
Yeah, I would recommend. I haven't watched the movie yet. My brother did, and he really enjoyed it. He said it was a really good movie.
yeah.
But yeah, it's like, why is it in my experience that many of the best Christian films are the really rough ones? Probably because they treat reality the way it actually is.
Most likely, yes.
There is a time and a place for more lighthearted films. Like Angel Studios is creating some actually really decent faith-based films for families. Wingfeather Saga is a pretty cool fantasy. Gabriel and the
I
Guardians,
want to watch that with you.
like they only had have done the first episode. I think the full season will finally be released next year. Gabriel and the Guardians is actually pretty cool,
And the best
but
part is that my favorite voice actor voices Gabriel.
it's like even we even the Wingfeather Saga fantasy, they don't ever specifically say God and Jesus, but there are allegories to the Christian faith in there. Even though it's for kids, it actually does tackle some pretty serious topics. It's like kids, we don't need to shelter them so much to the fact. We do need to shelter them to many things, of course, let them be children, but we also need to show them that life isn't always peaches and cream. We can show them more serious subjects. Like, look at some of the old kids' movies back then. They got kind of dark, but they weren't too, over the top about it. Nowadays, everything's just
One movie, and it's a Disney movie, but this is before Disney went kaput and stupid. But The Rescuers Down Under, that actually shows child trafficking.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it
I've never
shows
seen that
the
one.
boy who's kidnapped by the poacher. He's literally child trafficked by him. He's literally kidnapped and in his slave.
Ooh.
Yeah, it doesn't go into too much detail. He's just, caged and all that crap, but it's a form of child trafficking, let's be real.
But yeah, like, it's just, it's like, we as Christians need to, this is what we need to do. We need to use the gifts God has given us, because God gives us gifts and we are each assigned to use them well. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to use them not only for our craft, for our careers, or for just how to live everyday life, but to spread the gospel. And one way to spread the gospel is through storytelling. That's one of the biggest things that we've been trying to advocate for in our podcast. Yes. But if you make a crappy, if you use your gifts poorly and make a crappy story and make yourself look like a blithering idiot in the process, well, then guess what? You're not going to achieve that.
And they're not going to bring anyone to Christ through that either.
Exactly. So why don't we look at what Tolkien and Lewis did? Mm-hmm. J.R.R. Tolkien, even though he wanted to jump up and down and say he didn't, later in his life, he admitted, he said, well, I guess I kind of did, didn't I? I'm telling you.
Okay.
He crafted his own fantasy world because he wanted to create a mythology for England. Within that mythology, you do see inspiration from other mythologies, but at its core, there is a faith-based message. Many of the moral lessons taught within the Bible, there are a lot of allegories to angels, demons, God, biblical masculinity, and such, and what it means to be a man and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And C.S. Lewis took that a step further and full-on made an allegory to the Bible with the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
And I honestly think that they need to be the example we follow. Mm-hmm. We don't always have to make a, quote, Christian story. No. We don't always need to do that. What we need to do is we need to make good, like, I know many people want to put faith at the forefront, mm-hmm. but honestly, what you need to do is you need to focus on the story. Mm-hmm. It's a story. Of course you need to focus on that, mm-hmm. but take your faith, take your morals and your beliefs and weave them within the story. So that way the story shows morality. It show, you know, you can introduce people of faith. You could even make a movie with not a single Christian character, but still show faith-based morals within the story.
Last time I checked, the Pevensies were not Christians.
No, they weren't.
No, they're just normal kids.
Exactly.
And this is Chronicles of Narnia reference, by the way.
Yes, we're talking about Narnia for all of you uncultured swines. No, I'm just kidding. What are you looking at, you hockey puck? Anyways. But yeah, it's just like, because they're like, okay, well, in order to get our point across, we need to preach a sermon. Like I said, there are some movies like Courageous and War Room where that works. But for the most part, if you want to get the gospel message, sometimes you need to allude to it. Because let me use Jesus as an example. Mm-hmm. Look at his parables. Mm-hmm. There was a mix of how he told them. There were some where it was very obvious exactly what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. There were some where it was like, yeah, he's putting literally God within this. But there were many others where God himself were never mentioned, only alluded to. He himself was not mentioned, only alluded to. Mm-hmm. What he did was he taught many of his lessons through parables, through storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like, take the prodigal son, for example. It was about a father who had two children. One decided to take his inheritance early and say, screw you, I'm gone, went and lived a sinful life, lost all of his money, probably banged a bunch of hoes in the process, and ended up literally in the lowest point where he was literally eating pig filth.
Yep, and that is literally in Jewish pig culture, salt. And that in Jewish culture is not it's bad. It's
really it's
bad.
literally the lowest point a man could ever get to.
Yep.
Then he was like, okay, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm not going to expect to be considered his son because I spat in his face and didn't want anything to do with him. I could be a slave for all I care. I just know that he will take care of me. He comes back, and before he even could say, I'll be your servant, the father embraces him and says, you've returned. Because it also mentions that the father was waiting for him.
Yes.
And he brings him back in, throws a party, and is like, my son has returned.
Yeah. And that's how God is.
Of course. And the allegory was, God was the father. We are the ones who go astray. And when we come back to him at our lowest point, he still accepts us and brings us back in and makes us whole again.
Yep.
So that's how I think we need to tell stories. Yes, like I said earlier, there are... Go ahead, throw in some Christian characters. Make openly Christian characters. Show their faith. Show how their faith, you know, pushes them through scenarios like how Desmond Doss and Sergeant York did.
Yeah.
But many a times, like Lord of the Rings, for an example, some of the best examples of what a Christian man should look like would be Aragorn or especially Samwise Gamgee.
Mm-hmm. I think Samwise Gamgee is one of the greatest examples of being a friend to someone.
Yes. Like, Aragorn is definitely more of the stoic, more war-hardened example.
Yes.
But Samwise, I would say, is really good because he was literally a commoner.
Yeah, he was just a lowly hobbit.
Or he was just a gardener.
Yeah.
You pissed off the wrong gardener, Sauron.
That was for my old gaffer.
But yeah, it's like, if we're going to show people what true Christianity is, get people interested in the gospel, or just for once give someone something entertaining to have, because let's just be honest, amidst all of the slop that's coming out nowadays, whether it be through books, movies, TV shows, video games, and comic books, there is some good stuff. I'm not going to be one of those people who say everything's crap, but there's just not a lot of good content out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we as storytellers, like I've mentioned earlier, we're supposed to be on the front lines pushing out good quality storytelling to give people something to aspire to. Not just entertain them, but to show them this is what you could become. This is what you could strive to be.
Yes.
And if we as Christians have the perfect opportunity to be doing that, but it's pretty obvious what Christian media has been doing is not working. Mm-hmm. Angel Studios, I will argue, is doing a decent job.
Yes.
You have some good, you have some okay, you have some bad, but it's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
You know it's a breath of fresh air when the Critical Drinker is recommending movies from Angel Studios.
Yeah.
And that man, I'm not trying to bash him at all. I do not believe he is Christian.
Yeah.
I would say he probably isn't. I am not judging him. I am just saying, you know you're in the right direction when the Critical Drinker is recommending your movies.
Yeah.
So that's my example. Be the writer who makes a movie that the Critical Drinker will recommend.
Okay. Awesome.
Plant a seed to the Critical Drinker.
In that regard, I'm working on a story with my other best friend, because Samek is one of my best friends, and I would like to actually maybe get some feedback on your stories if you could read them to me at some point.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, when they're ready to be about to be released, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. But yes, this is what me and my brother are doing.
Yeah.
We're, as of recording, we finished it. Mm-hmm. We have made a 10 short story anthology called Tales of Calamity, where it's essentially showing that judgment comes for all.
Yes.
And that the wicked will be held to the standard of, you know, of justice. Granted, yes, it tackles some very dark subjects in some scenarios. In the first story, you have an openly Christian character who kicks butt. The second story is about an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the last story, which we already published in the Western Tales by Veritas Entertainment, Day of Calamity, which is the entire reason why we made this. I don't want to spoil it, but it has faith-based messages, heavy faith-based messages in that one. Some of the stories within this are openly faith-based, others not so much, but they still show morality. And sometimes they do have morally gray characters, but it, you know, to kind of wrestle with what is good and what is evil, there's a defense, but there is still showing definitive good versus evil. And they're, I wouldn't really recommend them to young readers, but I would say at least teenagers can read them. They're definitely like on the darker plus? Side.
Like 16 plus?
Say 13 plus.
Okay.
I'd say 13 plus.
All right.
But anyways, so we wanted to kind of set this as an example. It's like you can show dark, the darkness of humanity. You can show brutal action, sometimes even very graphic, violent action, but yet still show a message of faith.
Yes. I do believe
that. And that's what we hope to do. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. I'll definitely give you all updates whenever it comes out. All
right. Sweet. Well, we're at the 1 hour mark. Do you think we've talked enough?
Do you think we've made our point?
I think we have.
Okay, because sometimes I feel like we just ramble too much.
No, I think we made our point.
For those of you who, I'll just leave it at this. I'll say it again. If you want to win people over, don't slap them across the face with the Bible. Many a times, it's best to be seen and not heard. Show characters that explore biblical femininity, biblical masculinity, what it means to be a Christian. Show morality within your stories. Give a definitive good versus evil. Sure, sometimes you can explore the moral gray area because that does make for a good story, but it is best to show a definitive good versus evil. You can get dark. Just one, of course, don't go overboard with it, but two, don't glorify it. Show it as this is the reality of things. This is what evil is. I forget the exact quote from Ted Dekker, but he makes his characters extremely, the bad guys are extremely evil, and he was essentially saying, we don't need to sugarcoat evil. We need to show people for what it is, because nowadays people glamorize it, and evil is looked as like a joke.
Yeah.
Show evil for what it is, but at the same time, show good.
Yes.
Through that, through using your gifts, putting the work in, putting the effort in, following what God leads you to do, that I think will change this country. Because like I've said many a times before, storytelling is a key element to how a society is built. And the storytelling reflects society, and vice versa. Many times society reflects its storytelling. So if we want to see the world, this country, make a turnaround, one of the biggest things we can do is change storytelling.
I agree. All right. Yeah. Good episode, I'd say. Good conversation.
Yeah, pretty good episode.
Yeah. Anyways, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of the Crossplays podcast, where we talk about faith, pop culture, and everything in between. I am Nico, and this is Samick. And we will see you guys on the flip side. And also, probably for our next episode, just want to put it out there, we will have a very special guest for our next episode. And
Oh, yeah.
This guy is a TikToker who has, I think, almost half a million followers, or at least 300K followers, I think. Right?
I believe so. Yeah.
300K followers on TikTok. And he is known as Christ X Comics. And he will be on our next episode. So be on the lookout for that.
Alrighty.
See you guys next time.
See you guys later. Bye.